Welcome to COVID-19 Business Watch here on Business Day TV. And we're talking about the food game today. Since the first case of coronavirus in the country was confirmed in early March, which seems an age ago, restaurants and food businesses around the country have been affected in various ways. And as the virus continues to spread, we've invited a few food industry veterans to talk to us about what they're seeing in their communities and how their businesses are being affected. Vijay Govindsamy, who's a commercial director of the high-end company at AB InBev. Mike Skenk, owner of Doodles Restaurant in Blaaberg in the Western Cape. Jimmy Tembo, brand manager of Soft Coffee, a holding company to the Capello franchise and the Hard Rock Cafes in Pretoria, Joburg, Sun City and Cape Town. And Alsu Kerika, head of professional body and skills development at the SA Chefs Association, SACA. Vijay, how important are restaurants to local economies in the markets that AB InBev serves?
I think it's fundamentally important. You know, it's an opportunity for small businesses to enter an industry, you know, where the margins are pretty good. I think it's a cutthroat industry as well, because there's quite a few bars and restaurants in South Africa. I think that from a SAB point of view, or an alcohol industry point of view, a lot of the margin that bars and restaurants make, or profitability that they make, is linked into alcohol. You know, just selling food on its own is just not significant enough to, you know, to keep the lights on. So it's a fundamental part. And also, you know, beer is about sociability, you know, which allows consumers to really, you know, enjoy good times, you know, at their local hangout spot.
And that is the nature of the restaurant game. It has always been aligned to selling alcohol. That is where the margin is at. And even as we see restaurants allowed to deliver and go to takeaways, the fact is that alcohol sales are still banned. Michael, from your perspective, what impact has COVID-19 had on your business? Perhaps we should dial it back a bit. When did you first look at coronavirus and think, hang on, this is going to be a real game changer? When did you have that moment pre-lockdown that you reckoned your business model potentially could be under threat?
Yeah, so I think as COVID kind of hit our shores and we were forced to trade with restrictive conditions, as in a certain number of patrons in the venue, you could see straight away that I think people were initially scared from a consumer perspective to frequent the venues. Simply, we have quite a large style restaurant. So we need those numbers on the seats to fulfill those, to do the turnover targets. And obviously, it puts huge pressure on businesses like myself to hit those numbers, to be profitable.
And in terms of the impact that it's had on your business, revenue, top line, surely that must have just fallen through the floor. And how are you now emerging as we're allowed to, well, restaurants are allowed to do delivery and takeout?
So, yeah, definitely. I mean, as a restaurant, you know, like I said, we're probably over 300 seats a restaurant. So our business is geared for people dining within the restaurant and obviously enjoying their drinks and food, and less so as a delivery or takeaway model. So for the larger restaurants, bigger restaurants that are suited to seating, it's going to be a bigger challenge than your takeaway style restaurants or venues, or smaller outlets for that. So financially, obviously, it's been a huge impact. I mean, my main concern has always been about the staff, to ensure that we can, you know, have continuity with them so they sort of make ends meet. And the longer the lockdown's going on and the more the restrictions are in place, financials can knock everybody hard. So obviously some very hard decisions, big decisions will have to be made in the next few weeks.
How have you managed to keep your staff going through this period? Have you made use of the TERS benefit at UIF? Have you put some on furloughed leave or just downscaled pay? Take me through how you've managed while revenue has been drying up.
So thus far, from our perspective, we built up a good base. We've been around almost 30 years now. Lots of staff in a long time. So we feel a real sense of responsibility to our staff. To date, we've managed to pay all our staff their full wages for March as well as April. We've done that through a funding model, pretty much through our own finances, myself and my business partner. I have applied for the COVID TERS, which has proved very, very challenging. A number of sort of sites crashing, misinformation, probably submitted about 8 times. I've been paid for a very small percentage of my staff. So we're hopeful that we can get the technical issues and the alignment between the employee and employer sorted out. But as to date, we're still waiting for 75% of the staff for April payments. So it's still a challenge.
Yeah, it still is a challenge, and hopefully some of those teething problems will be sorted out at the next pay run as we approach payday for May as well. Jimmy, operationally, what impact has COVID-19 had on your various franchise businesses?
I think quite a lot. A lot of pundits have said, Michael, I think what COVID has taught us is to reset. It's a complete reset. But I think I'm going to take it slightly different. We've been speaking with a lot of stakeholders, and they've been asking us as a Soft Coffee Group, the group that hosts brands like Capello, Hard Rock Cafe, Black, Nonnas, and Bogartman, amongst others. And they've been asking why we have been optimistic. I think it's earlier than the COVID and the lockdown was being anticipated, we prepared quite well. And funny enough, if I look at it, or if we look at it in hindsight, I think we started that possibly 2 years ago in preparing before we even knew of the COVID. If you walk into our offices, I think there's an initialism that we call BDA that has come to full fruition now, which is before, during, and after. What we did well from two years ago is we changed the dynamics of the brands that we have. In terms of the focus, okay? We changed, for instance, I'll give an example. We've changed the brands and everybody that plays in that area, like waiters. We don't call them the waiters anymore. We call them sales guru. And it's because of the capital that they have, okay? We knew that we've always known that they're the conduit to the market. They've got a lot of emotional investments with the end consumer. We know that they interact quite a lot with the consumer versus the franchisee or the owner of the business. And we started investing a lot in that group in terms of what we call Capello Sales Group from the Capello's perspective alone. That's retraining, incentive, and everything. And that has come quite handful during the COVID with initiatives from SAB as the Stella Artois Back my pub, through the channels of conversations between the waiter, the sales guru, as I've repeatedly said, and the consumer. I think that has cured the anxiety from a waiter perspective, from the business perspective. We've been able to see not as much revenue as a stream of revenue, but at least it has managed to cure anxieties and it has continued to put food on the table. Again, not as much as it was before the COVID, but it has been something.
At least it shows investing in your staff and that human capital does pay off through crisis times like this. Also, speaking of staff and human capital, that's very much what you do at SACA. You're involved in professionalizing the chefing trade in the country. What impact is a crisis like this going to have? Firstly, from a demand side, the number of chefs that are wanting to go out there and work surely must exceed the available opportunities out there, not just in the restaurant game, but we see this in lodges, we see this in the broader hospitality ecosystem.
Absolutely, Michael. And chefs are very nervous. They don't know what's going to happen. Listening to the business owners, you know, how are we going to market it? How are we going to get business? It's all something that chefs are very concerned about. However, chefs and people in hospitality, what's wonderful about them is they have a very big entrepreneurial spirit, which means I see a lot of small entrepreneurs everywhere popping up, home deliveries and those things that are happening with chefs. Also a huge drive towards getting involved in charitable activities at this point, Chefs with Compassion being one, which keeps the guys working, which grows their networks. And that's what we're trying to encourage, is using this time to up your skill, to grow your network, to get involved with your professional body. Those are the things that chefs can do at this time while we wait for the market and while we wait to see what the consumer demands are going to be going forward. And it's a waiting game, unfortunately, for everyone.
It is a waiting game, and very different to many crises that we've seen in the past, in that it's very difficult to model and forecast what the future holds, because we just don't know what impact this is going to have on consumer behavior, for example. Vijay, from your perspective at AB InBev, obviously the link through the restaurant value chain is critical. They are major distributors of your products, and so there's a symbiotic relationship here. How are you approaching this to help support some of your retailers through this crisis?
Well, I mean, you know, SAB has been in South Africa. You know, it's celebrated its 125th birthday a few days ago. So 125 years being in the beer industry, 125 years, you know, as partners to lots of bars and restaurants, you know, over that time. And I think that, you know, we know that globally, when we look at the economic data, bars and restaurants generally have around about 16 days worth of liquidity, you know, that they have access to. And, you know, we're well past that now. And so the idea that we came up with when lockdown started was, we came up with this idea of how do we become, you know, the middleman between consumers and bars and restaurants, so much so that they can actually purchase or buy a voucher for the future at their local, in their favorite bar and restaurant that they can redeem at a post-lockdown. And the idea came out, and we said, how could we make a difference? Now, bear in mind that, you know, SAB is a business that's not generating any income. And, you know, this has been now, you know, for over 7 weeks now. We haven't had any income. We're not allowed to trade. And what we looked at is we said, if we had to think of the initiatives that make the biggest difference, how could we start a movement to allow consumers to actually help their local bars and restaurants? So with every voucher, SAB is contributing 50% of that value. So, for example, if somebody buys a 500-rand voucher, you know, 250 rand is added on top of that, bought by Stella, the Stella Artois brand of the SAB portfolio. And therefore, consumer gets 750 rand, you know, that they can spend, for example, at Doodles that Mike owns. You know, and I think that, you know, that's an initiative that we've had. We've generated over 880,000 to date. In terms of total value of the campaign, and we've reached, you know, over 480 outlets out there, and, you know, we're ready and willing for more and more outlets to sign up, you know, and encourage their patrons, you know, to go in and buy vouchers for the future, because it helps with liquidity. You know, cash now is better than later. It helps him, you know, cover a lot of the expenses that the guys are talking about, you know, labor, rent, etc. So, you know, it's fundamentally important. And I think, you know, true partnership is not just about the good times. It's also about the bad times. And I think that's where, you know, we come into play. So I think that's fundamentally important for us.
We've got a few food industry veterans around the Zoom room today talking about the future of restaurants, bars and hospitality more broadly as we pick through some of the detritus following the fallout of COVID-19. Michael, the voucher initiative that Vijay has spoken about is an important part of a multi-pronged solution for a restaurant like yours, and we'll talk about how you see the future evolving. But firstly, a voucher system like this, what sort of response have you seen so far? How do you go about marketing it, and what do you think?
Yeah, it's a fantastic initiative. I think Vijay is 100% correct when he says that partnerships are the way of the future and part of the past, obviously. In difficult times, you need partnerships and you need you know, people to help you along the way. So the SAB initiative, along with many others that the guys have done, in our case, we chose purely the SAB initiative. It holds a lot of integrity. We've had a long-standing relationship with SAB for the past 30 years. It talks to the integrity of the business relationship, as well as the consumer who has confidence in that purchase. You know, if they're getting extreme value, like Vijay said, 50% additional. If they want to support their local establishments, I mean, as more and more people are spoken to, kind of out there, clients, long-standing clients, they want to support, do their part, make sure that the local restaurant bars survive this period. You know, going forward, any of these type of initiatives certainly help consistently with business in terms of input costs and various other issues.
And how are you going about marketing this? I've seen some very clever, innovative marketing on social media, for example, as we've headed out of lockdown 5 into level 4, making use of Facebook and the databases that you've built up as a business over 30 years. I'm sure you've got a large one, to try and spread the word amongst your client base. How are you targeting your marketing at this stage?
Yes, so SAB gave us a very handy platform and clear guidelines of how to get this initiative out there and sort of follow the protocols as laid out. So we certainly followed the Facebook social media side of it and continued to promote through that platform. And the uptake was quite significant. I'm led to believe we one of the highest uptakes around Cape Town, certainly, maybe around the country. So, our clientele are looking to assist us, looking to help us through these periods and support the initiative because they obviously see the value. It's great value.
Jimmy, what impact have you seen the voucher initiative have on your group?
I think firstly was that we had to be very careful with how we roll it out. You will agree with me that during the COVID, the tone of your marketing or your communication had to be very very selective. And as a group, we wanted to be the friends of the government, we wanted to be the friends of the community. But I think like everybody else has said, the guidelines given by SAB came very handy with us. And like I said again earlier, the emotional investment that all our staff, franchisees, waiters, and everybody else in the conveyor belt has, it has been quite easy for them to go back to the consumer and communicate with the consumer and sell to the consumer. So I don't think it's something that just happened because of now. I think it's an investment of whatever we did in the past. The benefits are being shown now.
The obvious risk, though, is if a consumer does purchase this, there's no guarantee that the restaurant will be trading in sort of 12 to 18 months' time. It's a very fluid and dynamic situation. And with that, Alsu, the future of the restaurant. Are we going to be left in a world post-COVID-19 where only the very high-end restaurants remain and the family restaurant might actually disappear because families just can't afford to go out and enjoy a family dining experience? As a chef, how are you thinking about the future?
Michael, it's very difficult to predict, but yes, I think there is going to be niche markets in our and how we eat and where we eat, not exposing our children. Those are all going to be considerations going forward for consumers. But also very importantly that we as restaurateurs, as chefs and people in hospitality, keep in mind that the only way we might survive this is if we are flexible, if we are innovative and if we put safety first. And as we market that, as we use that as part of our unique selling points, we're going to see consumers coming back to our restaurants. And then there will be change, but it will go back. The hospitality industry will go back to it. So yes, I do think there's going to be a change in how we eat and where we eat and when we eat. But I think there's going to be space for some new ideas to pop up as well.
Vijay, what do you see as some of those new ideas? Potentially might we see restaurants opening with booths where you can go into a sanitized, cordoned off area where you're guaranteed your own safe space. How do you see this future restaurant and bar space evolving in the country?
That it's without doubt that hygiene is going to be at the forefront, from the restaurant owner to its various suppliers. I think that there's certainly an opportunity, for government to look at the license of on-premise restaurants to allow them to, possibly sell, takeaway with alcohol in hand, and that's something that currently is not allowed. I think that would be an opportunity just to make sure that, customers don't feel safe, in the bar or restaurant, that they can actually order their meal and enjoy it at home together with their favorite brand of beer. I think that the other thing is that I think that things that we take for granted, for example, menus, those might become electronic. That's something we've seen in other markets because it's just from a hygiene point of view. And I think that that's encouraging. Another thing we've seen in other markets that have come through is that consumers actually pre-book their seat in restaurants. They choose their meal before getting in and even have the ability to pay. So it's not so much so that when they sit down, they're enjoying almost a limited contact environment, with the menus, point of sale devices, etc. So I think that, if anything, it should help a lot more, for efficiency for the consumer, a better experience for them, and, hopefully a more efficient service as well from the bar and restaurant.
Michael, some very innovative suggestions from Vijay there. How are you thinking about the future as a large sit-down establishment? You mentioned that takeout isn't really your thing, but for the next 18 months, surely every restaurant's got to be having a look at how they integrate delivery. And do you want to be giving margin away to the delivery apps? Do you take that in-house? How are you thinking about this?
Look, I think as the regulations become clearer from the government, unfortunately they haven't always been 100% clear per level and planning around that. But I personally would prefer to see a lot more of the takeaway option, which really isn't allowed at the moment. It's a bit of a grey area and considered deliveries only. So we've chosen not to open at this stage and are looking to open up in the next phase. We probably will take some of those responsibilities on in-house. But we still, you know, we have responsibility to our delivery partners as well, who we've worked with very well over the period. So I think more and more consumers, as they become comfortable with the process, will be confident to either come and collect their own with social distancing and safe practices, as well as to the delivery partners. Beyond that, as the rules become available, yes, we'll have to probably go back to what we had before lockdown, where we had restricted trading conditions. And I'm sure the safety measures would be, you know, quite imminent in terms of maybe protective shields. You've seen sort of like PVC or plastic or glass houses where the guys have done so they can keep safe social distancing while enjoying their meals or their venue. And obviously, you know, around sort of alcohol sales, and that obviously helps venues as well. Like Vijay said, you know, if you're going to enjoy your meal with your drink, you want to enjoy the experience. So I think, you know, a lot of people, whilst they're scared, they still want to enjoy the social interaction. So, you know, we're all going to have to think outside the box and use initiatives that are safe to the consumer whilst still enjoying their favorite venue.
Jimmy, how are you thinking about the future?
Quite challenging, I must say, because I think our business philosophy has always been that we don't sell product. I think the number one thing that we sell is experience. We've always argued that at the end of the day, our stores are brick and mortar without the experience that we give. And we anticipate that the e-commerce will take a very huge rise. So how do you shift, if we're going to start playing in that space of e-commerce, is how do you shift the experience that the consumer is used to having in your venue, and you almost try to replicate it from an e-commerce perspective. I think this is a whole new experience to everyone. One of the best assets will be agility. Every brand will have to be very agile. But as the old proverb also goes, is that we will really have to listen to the market. I think one of the first things that we'll have to do is to see on how we retain consumers' average spend with the little number of people that you're going to be having in the stores. But yeah, I think the common word going forward will be experience, and how do we listen to the market going forward?
Absolutely, and why judging consumer behavior is going to be critical and so difficult at the same time, because we just are unsighted as to how consumers are going to react at the end of the day. Also, how are you thinking about the future from the SA Chef's perspective? And you said obviously chefs now are building their networks, building agility, and doing as best as they can. In terms of training, though, do you see a reduced demand for the number of chefs that you're producing? How are you thinking about the future?
Michael, once again, you know, it's very difficult to predict. Word from our bigger hotel groups and our big restaurants and very, very famous restaurants, say down in Cape Town, is that there's going to be a lot less space to take in chef apprentices or training them. And that's going to impact on the availability of chefs in the future. But one thing is that, and this came across the other day, is that hospitality is timeless. It is a timeless industry. It has survived world wars and the great depressions from the beginning of civilization, and we'll go through that and we'll get through that again. And it's going to take time and it's going to change. But SA Chefs will always, you know, we support, we make sure that we keep the networks alive, that the training initiatives are, is there for people to use. And I think that's where SA Chefs is going forward with this, and where training will go forward in future.
And I think just to end off reiterating what Vijay said, a very common sense approach needs to be taken by government as well here. There's a concern that when bottle stores are reopened, there's going to be a huge flood of individuals because of the extended lockdown. Well, one way to get around that is to allow an amendment to the regulation so that restaurants can also deliver alcohol along with food as well. And that really feeds into some common sense based policy making, which, let's face it, we haven't seen all that much of over the last while. That was Elsu Gerica of the SA Chefs Association, who was joined by Vijay Govindsamy, Commercial Director of the high-end company at AB InBev, Mike Schenk, owner of Doodles Restaurant in the Western Cape, and Jimmy Tembo, Brand Manager of Soft Coffee, talking about the future of the restaurant industry. You've been watching Business Day's COVID-19 Business Watch with me, Michael Avery. Goodbye.